Welcome to episode number 26.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. And whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking, the podcast, is all about, the RV lifestyle. This episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes. Audible.com, where you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/roadtrekking, and Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest 4G LTE network. Well, hello, everybody. Please welcome my lifelong traveling companion and my wife, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello, Michael.
I know it was hard to get you for this podcast today.
Well, it's usually hard to get me. I'm usually on the move.
But you're particularly on the move because we're going. We're hitting the road this week.
That's right. We're going to be going to Georgia and Florida.
And we got to pack up this guy, get him ready to go.
I know. I've got so much to do. I've got to sit down and make a list and think through every meal that we're going to be eating in our road trek so that I know what ingredients to take, what pans to take. I've got to plan this out exactly. I've got to sit down with my sheet and figure out. And you're doing something a little bit different this time with your eating. So I've got to totally rethink no sugar and no starches.
Yes, I'm not eating sugar. I'm not eating starches.
So that is going to be, actually, I'm looking upon it as being easier.
It is in a way.
Yeah, I just got to think a little bit differently. But where you being a guy, men love a burger and steak.
I can eat that.
Yeah, and you can eat that and you love that. But I prefer fish, chicken, turkey. I prefer that kind of food. So what works for you doesn't work for me. So I've got to figure this all out.
We have changed our lifestyle a lot. I have to say, and I think we talked about this long ago, one of the very early episodes, but the RV lifestyle is not a healthy lifestyle if you think that you're on vacation every time you're out there, right?
And it's really hard not to think you're on vacation the entire trip.
Because you are.
Because you're driving along the road, oh, what can we munch on? And yes, I slice up apples and we eat sliced apples, but it's like, okay, where's the cheese and crackers and popcorn? And you just get in this mindset of being on vacation and you can't do that.
I basically gained 30 pounds over the last 3 years that we were RVing.
And now you've lost that 30 pounds, so we don't want to find it again.
Yes, we spent all of the last few months here trying to change that lifestyle, and I have indeed lost it all, and I am no longer obese. I'm just overweight.
I'm trying to keep those pounds off.
Oh,
because
right. You
I'm
don't
not,
have a problem.
Well, I used to teach six this exercise classes a week, and now I'm down to just one or two, which with this summer
they
coming up.
All know that
that I'm a bit compulsive.
That you're a bit compulsive. They between the blog, the podcast, and our Facebook group.
Well, I don't drink coffee. My daughter-in-law Lori always says it would be easier to drink a cup of coffee than what I like to do is get up in the morning and walk a mile on the treadmill.
And now that and the problem with the RV is that we were always traveling, and you know RVers are pretty social people, and they always have food and drink, and it's very easy to sit around. So we've had a radical change in my behavior. I'm excited to say I have gotten all that weight off that I gained and a little bit more. And we're gonna keep eating that way. Anyway, so we're taking off this week. We're going to Georgia and then Florida, maybe do some fishing.
And that makes it a little harder, too, because we're on the road for 2 days, one night on the road. Then we'll be at our kids' house. So a lot of time when I take a lot of food, that stopping at their house for 3 or 4 days, the vegetables, whatever, I can't pack the way I would like to because I like to take organic apples. I get the hiccups when I eat regular apples. You know, what can I say?
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of fussy about what we eat. If I have my way about it, I'm fussy.
Well, we are hitting the road Thursday, and we'll be having some fun. In fact, one of the things, if you are in Florida, and I think half of the population of Canada and the U.S. is there right now, we would love to meet you. Jennifer and I have been asked to make a special appearance and kind of a meet and greet on St. Patrick's Day, which is the 17th of March. And so we are going to be at Leisure Time RV in just north of, or right around Orlando in Winter Garden, Florida, right in the Orlando area, Winter Garden, Florida, at Leisure Time RV. We'll be there Tuesday from 3 until 7 p.m., Tuesday the 17th of March, 2015.
That is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep, we're going to meet some great folks down there. We've kind of met most of these guys at various shows, and we're going to stop by and take a look at this really interesting RV dealership. They've been around for a long time, and half of North America is in Florida.
Oh, so that is true.
They've got some stories. By the way, while we're there, many of you know we have a Facebook group. We have a couple. We have a Facebook page with over 265,000 likes. And then we have a really active Facebook group. If you look under groups under Facebook, look for Road Trekking and you'll see it. And Jim Hamill, the president of Road Trek Motorhomes, is on that group a lot with us. And since we're going to be in Florida on that day, he's offered a special deal through Leisure Time RV. He is going to, if anybody buys a Road Trek from their existing inventory at Leisure Time RV, and they've got a lot of them in stock, he will personally send a check of $2,500 once all the requirements are met and the unit's delivered. So that is a pretty good incentive that he's offering. So maybe nobody wants to see us, but they might come up for that check.
Worth coming out for.
And if you're there, we will be happy to show you our brand new experimental CS Adventurous XL. And there's a lot of stuff I've talked before about it. We've got some interesting power things that we're experimenting with. We're kind of like a test pilot on this. And a couple of other neat things that we're not going to expose publicly. But if you're in the area and you twist my arm, I'll show you what we've got.
Uh-oh, sounds like you're going to get in trouble.
I don't think so. I mean, we go down the road, people will see it. I can just say, there it is, but I can't talk about it. That's all.
Okay, there you go.
All right, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to start with some questions and answers. And Jennifer, my dear, these questions are all email questions I've been saving for when I could grab you.
All right.
We've been doing a lot of voice called-in questions on our leave voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. And by the way, we do encourage you to do that. But also, some of you don't have a microphone on your computer, and so you've sent us email. And I have saved a whole bunch of them, at least three we're going to try and get through, our questions all directed towards you.
All right, so I'm ready.
Are you ready? You don't know what they are yet.
That's true.
All right, here's number one. This comes from Janet, who is in Nebraska, and I didn't write down the city that she's in, but she sends an email and she says, Jennifer, what do you leave in your road trek, and what do you take out after each trip? That's a good question. What do you leave? What do you take out?
Well, when we all year long, I like to leave in there, I like to leave raincoats, a nylon windbreaker, a warm jacket. Michigan, we get everything. And when we're going out west, I know we're going to have variable temperatures out there. So make sure the outerwear, mittens, hat, gloves.
And you need mittens and hats and gloves even in the summertime if you're going up in the mountains in particular.
Right. Yeah. And I've been meaning to talk to you. I went through a magazine the other day and I saw those the mosquito netting.
Yeah.
Hats, jackets.
Yeah, we got the hats anyway.
Well, I'd like to get the whole jacket. I want to point that out to you now that I'm thinking along those lines.
All right.
And the dishes, of course, are in there. I have silverware and can openers and all that sort of thing that don't come out except once a year when I do my spring cleaning in the road trek. And then I take everything out and clean it. I like to leave my aqua shoes in case I want to do aqua aerobics. If I find a class, the right kind of shoes for doing water aerobics, or maybe a pair of tennis shoes.
Aren't
you could
those
leave
shoes,
in there.
Those shoes are also good for walking on the beach.
Oh, yeah. They're good for walking on the beach. Yeah, protect your feet when you're there. So a little bit of everything.
And we keep, some of the stuff we in the bathroom where we keep toothpaste in there and soap, so we don't have to keep bringing that in every time.
Yeah, you have the type of soap you like. I have what I like.
Yeah.
So
okay, and so that's pretty good. How? Here's another question. This comes from Kathy from Little Rock, Arkansas. She says, Jennifer, what do you take for pots and pans with such a small galley in your RV?
I have a couple of pans. I go back and forth because I have my electric griddle that I really like. I normally take that everywhere we go. I think the little electric fry pan is not going to go anymore.
It was our replacement of the George Foreman grill.
Yes.
So
it
cooks, it gets the grease out. It's really
nice. I can
make
just about everything with that. So I don't need my little electric fry pan that I had bought for the RV. And I like to have a couple of pans that I leave in the road truck all the time that I can use. But now again, I've got my ceramic pans that I'll probably be taking those because you don't have to use any grease to cook with the ceramic pans and the bamboo utensils to cook with.
And one of the reasons we got into those is because we learned that even in those no stick pans, that they're treated with a chemical that is not exactly healthy for you. I'm sure there's people who disagree with this, but a number of people who are very concerned about natural health and wholesome, clean food suggest that you stay away from that because the chemicals that treat those nonstick pans do come through in your food, and as well as with that spray-on stuff that you can put. So Jennifer got these really neat ceramic pans. Are they called the green pan, I think?
Yes, it was the manufacturer. They were green pans that we happened to pick up, and I really like them. I like the bamboo utensils that we're using with them. And
use bamboo because metal.
You don't want to scrape the interior of all these. And also, these other pans supposedly make you gain weight.
Yes.
So we're looking for an excuse. We're looking for an excuse.
Well,
for these pounds that we put on. So we're trying to, anything we can do so that we don't gain weight.
I should direct everybody. Maybe I shouldn't. No, I will.
Nah.
No? Okay. I can't tell you. I was going to tell about another podcast I do, but.
Well, you can if you'd like.
I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing. All right, I will. Go to superhealthyme.com and you can listen to another podcast where we've sort of chronicled my yo-yo dieting and my weight loss. But I'm proud of it now. I'm down to a size 34.
It's your diary.
Pair of jeans.
It's my diary.
And it's my accountability diary. Yeah. I'm not going to say any more about that.
No, you always have to write everything down because that's how you deal with life. And you want some accountability. You want some people to pressure you. Right, I think that's how you started all
pots
that.
Pots and pans. We also keep, Jennifer doesn't drink coffee. I do. And I have a Keurig single cup coffee maker, which is a subject of some considerable debate between the two of us. She doesn't think it's healthy because it heats that coffee through plastic. I think it's worth the risk because I need my coffee in the morning.
And I think the manufacturer of those that said those are like cigarette butts.
They don't decompose. Yeah, that is true. And they're trying to come across some that are biodegradable.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk you into giving that up, but I don't think I stand a chance. And you really make a good case for keeping them because if I let you do your coffee there, I'm sweeping up coffee for the rest of the day. There's coffee inside the silverware drawer. I mean,
I'm very messy, huh?
I think it's a plot.
All right. Well,
it works.
All right. One more question for you. Kathy, I hope that answers your question. This again is to you, Jennifer. Everybody wants you to answer these questions. Says Jennifer, I shouldn't ask. Jennifer, how do you and Mike share the RV chores and the driving? This is from Jim and Wendy from Madison, Wisconsin.
Usually the driving, I try to do a third of it.
Yeah.
Rarely, sometimes I'll do half of it.
You've done half of it.
I like
times.
To drive. I get very bored sitting there. I like to be involved with where we're going. And if we're listening to a good book, I just totally, I like it.
Now, we're trying to practice what we call the 330 rule, which is on a long trip, you don't drive any more than 330 miles, or you stop at 3:30 in the afternoon, whichever comes quick. Whichever comes first, 3:30 in the afternoon or 330 miles. Sometimes, though, if we're coming home, we want to stay out west late and we have to be home in a couple of days, we do push it. But it's great when somebody shares the driving.
Oh, we, you know, like going down this trip, we got to get to our kids now.
Yeah, we got to be to a basketball game.
We
got to
be at a baseball game. So here we go again. Yeah. Let's go like crazy people. Let's
drive till
we,
a couple of books,
till we drop here. We're doing another little marathon trip down there.
So what other chores?
And then the chores. Usually the best way for the chores to get done is for me to chase you out.
Yeah. That's where you say the famous line, I need space with you not in it.
Oh, that's
well, you did say. I've got that on video.
Well, that's true. I did say that to you once, and that'll probably be written on my tombstone someday that I said that to you once. You immediately went to Facebook and posted it.
I did.
Oh, yeah. Did. So you give me grief. But the things, I like to have you cook the meat outside, you know, mm-hmm. when we're preparing a meal, and then I'll do things inside. I'm kind of like, I like my elbow room. I like space. And when we do things, you get up before I do in the morning. So you do a lot of your work on the computer and everything. And I get up a little bit later, and then you need space.
Yeah, and you do. And you learn to respect that on the other person. I mean, there's two of us living in a 24-foot van. And when we bring our dog, he's 70 pounds, and
he's lost weight. Ty is 65 pounds.
I take it back. Our 65-pounder.
Yeah, he almost died in December, so we're his diet. So
yeah, and that was another food issue. He really did. He's 11. Yeah, so he's getting up there in age, but he almost died. He was really lethargic. He was panting, having trouble not eating. And we took him to a vet, and he had pancreatitis.
Yes, and by changing his diet, he's lost his 6 pounds, and I think he's got another 5. We're going to try to get off him.
And they told us, the vet told us, pointed out, brought the food in, and the food, it says, look at the fat content. And the food fat content on dog food says minimum.
Was 15%.
Minimum 15%. He says that's the absolute minimum. He says it's never that. It's typically 40 to 50% fat, because then the dogs like it. You think you're feeding them because they're ravenous for it. And actually that fat is really bad for them and caused pancreatitis. So even Ty has had this healthy eating.
We won't say the name of his dog treat that he was eating, but the vet also said that particular dog treat had been taken off the market a few years back because it was killing dogs.
It was made in China. Yeah.
Oh, get in trouble for saying that?
I don't know.
But the treat that we were giving him, no more.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. Jennifer, here's one that came from me, and this is kind of interesting. We're trying to catch up on email. Normally, we like to do our voicemail messages because it's fun to hear your voices. But some of you send email. This one comes from Howard in Montreal, and he says, "Mike, I love the podcast, but wonder if you should make it shorter." Thanks, Howard. Not have so many elements in it. I commute to work, and it's about 20 minutes each day. I listen to you on the way in, and on the way out, that's 40 minutes. And usually now I have to sit in my driveway to finish an episode, or I have to listen to it the next morning, which means then I have nothing to listen to on the way home. Just wondering. Well, Howard, I don't know. Let's put that up to our listeners. We could do a shorter podcast. Do you like the hour-long versions that we've been doing with many different elements? Or should we just focus on one interview and make it short? Or should we just do question and answers? You tell us, listeners.
Well, I guess whatever people want. If they've got time to listen, or if they'd like it to condense it, shorten it up.
All right. Well, we'll see what they do. All right. We're going to take one voice message that was left. This was left by a friend of ours, actually a guy that we know, another Canadian. And this was on our roadtrekking.com voicemail that was left. He clicked the little right-hand link that says leave voicemail, and meet Harish.
Hi. My name is Harish Verma. I live in Burlington, Ontario, Canada. And I have been a member of the Road Trekking, the group community, for about a year. Thanks to Mike Wendland, I want to congratulate Mike for initiating his RV travel podcast. Road Trekking has been an invaluable and important part of our life for the last 15 years. We have traveled all across North America and made lots and lots of friends. I love the RV lifestyle blog. The reasons we like it is because it gives us tremendous amount of information of who else is doing what in which part of the world. My background is that of a geologist. My specialization was paleontology, so I used to spend a lot of time during the summers collecting fossils from different parts of the country. And during that time, it occurred to me that wouldn't it be nice if I could travel independently on my own, in my own vehicle, so that I could enjoy all this beautiful country. So just around the retirement time, we purchased a RV, and we have traveled approximately 250,000 kilometers all over North America, made tons and tons of friends. We have walked on glaciers in Alaska, and we have participated in kitchen parties in Newfoundland. The amount of experiences that we have enjoyed is just tremendous. So again, I'd like to congratulate Mike for initiating his RV travel podcast, and I look forward to hearing similar stories from other people who are involved with the RV small motorhome lifestyle.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment.
Look on the right side of mikesroadtrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the Road Trekking RV podcast is Van City RV, serving RV shoppers from the center of the country in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV is one of America's top dealers, specializing only in Class B motorhomes from the three major small motorhome manufacturers. And they're in stock at Van City RV. They're on display, and Van City RV loves to deal. They only sell Class Bs. The owner, Ray Dwyer, is considered to be the dean of Class B sales. Nobody knows small motorhomes better than Ray and his crew. They not only stock new models, they have a large inventory of used Class Bs as well, and they have a great fly and drive program. Shoppers from all over the U.S. choose Van City RV. They fly into St. Louis, they get picked up at the airport and taken to Van City RV to pick up their new unit. I've been to Van City RV. I've met Ray and Danny and the crew, and they have one of the top service centers in the country. They've worked on our road trek, and I can personally attest to their skill and expertise. Here's Dan, the van man, with this week's special.
Thanks, Mike. Well, daylight savings time came. Everybody rolled their clock forward. We're going to roll the clock back a little bit here. I got 2014 SS Agile. At a super low price, can't mention it on here. Give us a call, we'll get you the best price possible. We've got a 2014 RS out the door at 108, no trade. We got a 2014 CS out the door, 120, no trade. Give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at vancityrv.com.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, let's see, a couple stories we want to pass along to you. This one from Florida, lots of news in Florida. We talked about how many RV dealers there are down there. Well, in the town of Sanford, Florida, there have been some issues with what appears to be arsons and some major fires at RV dealerships. In fact, it took 23 first responders from the Sanford and Seminole County Fire Departments a couple of Mondays ago to handle a call. A 911 call came from a gas station on Orange Boulevard, reported a fire at Florida Luxury Coach. And once fire crews there, they found six luxury RVs on fire, five of them at Florida Luxury Coach, and then one at an RV lot right next door to them called Excalibur Coach. Fortunately, nobody was hurt and no buildings were damaged. All the coaches were parked outside. The state fire marshal is investigating all of that stuff, but it sure sounds very suspicious. And that's a lot of money up in flames. There was some good news for RVers as we get close to the spring travel season, and that is that little spike we've seen over the last month or so in gas prices has seemed to have tapered off, and a little bit of pain, that extra pain we were seeing at the pump is now over, that those steady increases in the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline is now tapering off. AAA reports a national average of $2.45 a gallon. That's down a fraction of a cent from what it was a couple of days before that. And it sort of ends this 40-day streak of slight little price increases. So it looks like it's stabilized. Oil prices, of course, have done the same thing. And we had that great record-breaking streak of falling prices where gas got to actually below $2 a gallon in some places. And then it started creeping up. So national average of $2.45, you can find it cheaper. I saw it this morning at $2.19 in Michigan. So that's for gas. Still costing you $2.50 or so. About $3.50 for diesel, which is what I take in our unit. But I mean, just a year ago, it was close to $5. That's how much it's come down. So that's good news for the spring travel season, which is coming up. And there was a good news to a story out in Colorado at the Great Sand Dunes National Park. State police there, the state patrol trooper found a 6-year-old boy who had been reported missing there in the national park and preserve down there in southern Colorado. The boy was found. He was walking towards a road near the park entrance. He was a little guy. He was missing on Sunday, and they searched all night long for him. And a great trooper named Lance Sanchez, he kind of volunteered to go help search for the child before he started his normal shift patrolling Alamosa County. And about 7 a.m. Monday morning, Trooper Sanchez saw the young kid wearing a jacket but no shoes walking in a field by the entrance to the Great Sand Dunes. And he knew the basics of the missing report, so he went over to the kid and immediately took him back to the command post. And everybody was pretty excited. So that park, by the way, is 140 miles south of Denver. It's sand dunes up to 750 feet tall, the highest in North America. Cover about 30 square miles of sand dunes. Beautiful place. So a happy ending there. That young kid has been found. And thanks to the volunteer efforts of a trooper who decided to go in and help on his own before he started his regular shift.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about what everybody's talking about, and that is Apple and the announcement that they had this week about the new Apple Watch. I always blog on this on my tech blog, PCMike.com, but I'm so surprised at how many of my road trekking readers and listeners follow us on there. And so I've had a couple of emails, and people say, well, what do you think about this watch? You're going to get one. And that's a good question. I seem to buy everything that's tech. I admit it. I love all these gadgets and gizmos, and I'm a very a big fan of Apple and what they make. But I'm looking for a reason to buy this watch. I really am. First of all, it's so expensive. In fact, it's ridiculously expensive. The cheapest model that I've seen is called the Sport. It sells for $349 if you've got a skinny wrist. I wonder if my wrist is skinny now that I've lost all that weight. I don't know. $399 if you got a thicker wrist. I mean, that's a lot of money for a watch. There's a stainless steel model, which is the one I think I would want. And that's like $550 for a skinny one or $600 for a fat wrist. And if you think that's expensive, Apple, you want to see how elitist they've come. They're now offering a rose gold case made of 18 karat gold. That starts at $10,000. And there's other models that go $12,000, $15,000, up to $17,000. You talk about ridiculous. Talk about greed and elitism and everything about Apple that I don't like. I see it in the pricing of this watch. Now, I know the gold is just a gimmick, that 18 karat gold, and they'll probably sell a total of 23 of them. But come on, that's so conspicuous in consumption that it's downright sinful, don't you think? Come on, even if you got that money for a watch. Now, that's just the cost. I don't think people wear watches anymore. I stopped wearing one about 2 years ago, and I didn't make a conscious decision. I just wore it less and less because, for one thing, I've always got my smartphone near me, and clocks are everywhere. My car is a clock. My RV is a clock. The office has a clock. And I don't think that millennials, that younger target audience that Apple seems to always play by, I don't think they wear watches either. So are they going to buy the Apple Watch? I don't think some of them might, because they think it's going to make them look cool and as a trendsetter. But I'm not so sure that the time of a watch hasn't passed us by. Now, there are some apps that they have. There's going to be one app that will read your pulse through the watch. Seriously. That's nice. And if you're, you know, like to work out, and we do, we like to monitor it. But I've been wearing a cheap little Timex for 10 years that does that. Albeit it has a chest band on it. And this Apple Watch apparently reads it through your wrist, the pulse in your wrist. But I'm not going to spend hundreds of dollars for that. There's some other apps that seem pretty superfluous to me. One, you see, if you looked at the news event that they televised, they streamed it live on the internet. The guy demonstrating it, you know, tapped out a smiley face on his watch and sent that to his wife. Tapping out messages on our watch. Okay, maybe once or twice we'll do that as a gimmick, but come on. And you can call an Uber car. I live in Detroit, and I didn't think we even had Uber cars here. I guess we do have some. But does anybody use it? Okay, I mean, some people do. How many people use taxis? In New York, a lot. Chicago, LA. But in most of America, do you use a taxi? And let alone an Uber car? So how practical is that app going to be for you? Does anybody really need an app on your watch when you can do the same thing on your smartphone? The smartphone, by the way, supposedly will read news and sports scores. And I can see that if you're in a meeting, if you're at church, you want to know what the sports score, you just kind of look at your watch and you see that, you know, your team's winning or losing. Okay, that's cool. But do you really want to read news reports on it? It's hard enough to read it on a smartphone, let alone on a watch face. And then there's the battery life. Apple claims it'll get 18 hours, but you want to bet on that? I mean, if you're really using this thing, if you're tweeting and Facebook updating and tapping out messages or whatever you're going to do, reading news and sports, you know it is not going to last that long. Plus, it's paired to your smartphone, and I would assume that it's going to drain that battery down faster. Do you want to have to charge not only your phone every night, but now your watch? I tried one of these Samsung Gear watches 2 years ago. It's kind of a clunkier looking version of what will be the Apple Watch, but it did the same thing. It alerted you to email and tweets and texts, and you could get a weather report and stuff like that. Well, I got so sick of charging that thing every night that I just took it off after 2 weeks and I never used it again. So I can't find a good reason to get an Apple Watch. It goes on sale if you want to try it out on April 12th. And I think the orders it's delivered the next 10 days or, you know, 23rd, sometime around that time. But I'm not so sure this is it's going to be a big hit for Apple. And I don't think I'm getting one. This will probably be the first thing that I don't get. Now, I know everybody's going to probably see me at some RV event this summer and I'll have an Apple Watch on. You watch. I probably will do that. Get it? You watch. I probably will do that. But that's just for research. Okay, it's just for research if I do get one. But right now, I'm having a rough time justifying how to afford it. So that's my take on the Apple Watch. This part of the podcast, our tech part, is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Being an RV owner, I spend a lot of time on the road. However, I still like to keep tabs on what's going on back home at our Sticks and Bricks house. And with the Belkin Netcam HD Plus, I can check in on the house anytime I want from anywhere I am. All I need is my internet connection and my smartphone. With the Belkin Netcam HD Plus, you can literally watch your home from anywhere. The device delivers really nice quality 720p high def live streaming video straight to your smartphone or your tablet, sends you automated alerts whenever the camera detects motion in your home. And what's even cooler is that the Belkin Netcam HD Plus also works with other devices in what's called the Wemo family. What's that all about? Well, you can program all sorts of home automation devices and different triggers, like turning on your lights when somebody walks through the door. But that isn't all. The push-to-talk feature lets you communicate directly with somebody on the screen. Suppose you have a house sitter, which is what we usually do when we travel. We have a house sitter. Or you have a family member who's checking up on your house. They can call you up. They can say, hey, and you can actually talk to them by this netcam. And they can say, hey, should this be set this way? Or does this look right? Or everything, or they could just tell you, hey, I'm here. Everything looks good. You got peace of mind. You need to see this to talk to somebody about how cool this is. It's very, very simple to set up. In fact, I will have it set up, and I will be using it on this trip that we're taking this week to Florida. So if you're down in Florida and you meet us at that at Leisure Time RV in Winter Haven or Winter Garden, Florida on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, ask me to show you how the Belkin netcam works, and I'll call it up on my smartphone. But if you want to see it yourself, you don't have to wait and drive down to Florida to see us. You just go to your local Verizon retailer today. They will be able to show you how it works. You can pick up your own, and you can check out all those other cool smart home devices that they offer. And if you want to learn more stories about how technology can improve your life, just go to roadtrekking.com/VZW. Roadtrekking.com/VZW.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, where we're going is what this destination is about. We've talked a little bit before about some of the special events that we want to do for the road trekking community, particularly those people who are interacting all the time with us on our blog, on the forum on the blog, and on our Facebook group. And one of the things I want to tell you about is we're planning a number of gatherings. These are not rallies. I don't like rallies. That just sounds much too organized for our group. But these are gatherings of like-minded people who kind of gather around and are interested. And these events will be sort of themed. And so the first one that we have scheduled is scheduled for June of this year. And it is really cool. It is going to be in Montana, and it is aimed particularly at those who like to boondock and who like to take photos of wildlife and gorgeous scenery. And boy, is that where we are. We are calling it the Road Trekking Montana Mountains Boondocking Photo Safari. And if you like the American West, if you like wildlife, if you like Yellowstone National Park, if you like mountains, and this is the one. Now, I got to tell you, it's sold out. We had we have a whole campground in the Bear, right off the Beartooth Mountains in Montana, just north of Yellowstone National Park. And we've got it booked. It's from June 8th through the 11th. We do have a standby list. So you can check this out. If you really think you can make it, get on the standby, the wait list, because we think that we'll be able to find a few more spots. But this is going to be from June 8th through the 11th of 2015, June 8th through the 11th. And it's really neat. It's going to be in Montana at the U.S. Forest Service Parkside Campgrounds in the Custer National Forest, right in the middle, right off the Beartooth Mountains Scenic Highway, right in the middle of the Beartooth Mountains, not far from Yellowstone. Some of us will probably make a trip over there for it. We've got an award-winning staff of excellent photographers who are going to be there. We've got a local guy by the name of Merv Coleman, who's won a number of photography awards for wildlife and outdoor. He's going to lead a session for us. We've got Laura Robinson, who's going to teach composition and beginning photographer. Joe Morales, who is just a master with using natural light to make gorgeous landscape photos. He will be leading us on some trips. I'm going to teach video and photo technology. Jeff Martica, who we met with him in January up at the Upper Peninsula in a winter campout. He's going to come by and teach some landscape photography tips and how to photograph the Milky Way at night. Jan Seiner's going to be there. He's going to take us on some really great hikes and teach some outdoor skills. Our friend Camp Skunk will be there. And Camp Skunk will talk about boondocking and how to camp off the grid for extended periods of time. This is the first time Camp Skunk has done one of these. He is going to be there. And even Road Trek President Jim Hamill will be there. And he's going to show how to get the most out of our RVs. And I think Jim's going to teach us about bear safety or something like that. But the event, I'm talking about it, and here it is. It's technically sold out, but we think we're going to have a few more spots. And at any rate, check it out. It's something I think that you might find really interesting. This part of the podcast brought to you by Audible. Audible, and we can get you a free audiobook download. Now, you've heard Jennifer and I talk about how when we travel across the country, we tend to listen to audiobooks, fiction sometimes, nonfiction. We tend to find books that are themed or set in the areas that we're visiting. And Audible has over 150,000 audiobook titles that you can choose for. And you can get them on your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle. You can play them through your vehicle entertainment system, on your computer if you want. And it is amazing. Audiobooks, if you buy them individually, they're really expensive, upwards of $30. This is a great system where you can get a free one. And then if you sign up for their trial after this free 30-day trial, if you signed up for their full program after the free trial, it's like $16.95 or something a month. Very reasonable. But forget that. Go get a free audiobook. Audible has made a special offer for RoadTrekking.com podcast listeners. If you go to audibletrial.com/roadtrekking and Audible trial is all one word. So audibletrial.com/roadtrekking. You can get the details. You can get your free book. You can pick whichever one you want out and you get a free 30-day trial to make sure this is what you like. If you have not listened to an audiobook while you've traveled, you don't know what you're missing. So check that out. That's how we like to travel. And we have an absolutely great time doing it. Well, something else that we like to do when we travel is make a record. I just told you about the boondocking photo safari, but we also have lots of different ways to take photos. And I think I shared this on one of my earlier blog posts. Certainly, I did it on the blog, and I think I've mentioned it briefly on the podcast 6 or 7 episodes ago. But one of the neater devices that I have put in our RV is a dash cam. A dashboard camera. That's what dash cam is short for. And basically what it is a high definition video camera that shoots what I see as I drive down the road in our RV. It has a wide angle lens and 1080p high def, spectacular color. Even at night, using the lights of the vehicle, it's just as if you are right there watching it in real time. It's that clean and clear. And already I've captured some great scenery, a couple of interesting things that, you know how things happen on the road so fast. We've had an absolute ball with it. And everybody I've talked about or shown the video to says, I need this. I want to see this. I want one. How do I get one? What do I need to know about them? How much are they? So I thought I would just go straight to the manufacturer, the one that I happen to use, which is called Windshield Witness. And I actually sought these guys out after I bought it. I said, this is after I checked it out, this is the one I want. And I sought them out and have been absolutely pleased with mine. So here, without any further ado, is the president and the CEO of Windshield Witness. His name is Dewey Devane, and he's going to tell us what we need to know about dash cams. Like I said, I have a dash cam myself. I use the Windshield Witness, and I have nothing but great things to say about it. I'm about ready to take off for a trip for Florida, and you know, it just, I have this thing on all the time. It kind of documents my route, gives me great shots, and I've had a ball with it. But you may be thinking that you need a dash cam or something you want to find out about. So to help us learn a little bit about dash cams and what they can do and why they may be the coolest accessory yet for your vehicle, we have on the other line Dewey Devane. Dewey is the guy who is behind Windshield Witness, the Windshield Witness dash cam, and I asked him to come on and help us understand dash cam. So how you doing, Dewey?
I'm actually doing pretty good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, talk to us a little bit about dash cams. First of all, their origin, really, their popularity really began in Europe. And walk us through how that happened and how we're using them here in North America.
Okay. Actually, it kind of started out as a a need, if you will, to document issues while driving on the road, specifically fraudulent accident claims. When I say it started out, the boom to get one, that's what really fueled it. Criminals, as you know, they come up with all kinds of ways to do all kinds of stuff on the road. And this way, if you've got a video of it, you're covered in a court of law, because that's actual testimony that can be put right into a courtroom. It isn't hearsay at all.
Now, you say accident fraud. We don't hear a lot about that here in North America, but in Europe, it was pretty rampant.
As a matter of fact, let's say Russia, for instance. My understanding is that right now about 3 out of 5 vehicles have some dash camera in them in Russia.
So
is that prevalent?
Wow. You know, that makes sense because, you know, all those wild and wacky accidents that you see on YouTube, those were all shot from Russia. So, and didn't they even get a picture of a UFO or something over there with one?
Well, it was a UFO. They got one of the I'll call it an asteroid, but that came down. Everybody got that, and that was a real big thing. So,
oh, that was right. That was an asteroid. And then I think there was some kind of a UFO here in the States that I saw. Somebody had a dash cam video of that.
It's all sorts of things kept coming on there.
And then there was plane wreck.
Of it, though. You never know what you're going to get.
There was that plane wreck in the Far East just a few weeks ago, and somebody actually got in that plane going down with the dash cam. So we see they're being used all over the place. How do they work? I mean, we know you slip them up on the dash, or more likely now in the case of Windshield Witness and many of the other dash cams, they mount on the windshield and the inside of the windshield. But what's involved in setting them up? How complicated is this, and what do they do?
Okay. Any dash cam out there worth its salt is going to be very, very easy to install, and it's going to stay on the window, okay? Basically, it's approximately a 13 to 15-foot cord that goes from any one of your outlets. You just run that around, put that up on the window, put your suction cup on, it's there. You start your vehicle, it starts up. Turn off your vehicle, it turns off. Unless you have a vehicle that has the power on all the time, which is no problem for this particular camera, because it can run overnight, come back in, car starts up, it's fantastic.
Doesn't it actually shut down and not record when there's no movement?
It will do that. There is also an option on the system whereby you can set it to being always on and being on motion detect, okay? I personally don't care for that feature. I'd just rather have it on all the time recording. Murphy's Law comes into effect. In other words, somebody comes up and, for whatever reason, hits your car with a baseball bat and runs away. After he's done it, that's when it starts recording. So he's getting him running away, not getting him doing it. But if it's on all the time, Merry Christmas.
Now, you know, on another aspect, though, I have one on my RV. And I always end up, you know, I stay a lot. I boondock, they call it, way out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. And leaving that on, you can actually see what wanders into your campsite all night long. So there's the deer or a bear or whatever it is, because it would detect that motion, wouldn't it, if it was in front of the camera?
It would do that as well. And also, as long as you have any adequate light out there, it's going to record basically what your eye can see. So if you have enough light for your eye to see it, it'll record it.
Now, it's amazing to me. I leave mine on all the time, and I've looked at the dark, you know, shots after dark with the headlights on the vehicle, and it's better than what I see when I'm actually driving through those lights. So it records. Now, does the user have to turn it on at the office, or you say it just automatically goes on and just keeps recording?
Yeah, it actually does something called loop recording, and some people are confused about that. The easiest way for me to explain it is this. If you have it set to, let's say, 1080p, you're going to get approximately 8 hours of continuous recording.
Now, 1080p is high-definition video.
Oh, yes, high-definition, 30 FPS, frame per second. They'll record in, let's say, five-minute increments. Okay, so you have quite a few files, but it's recording continually. Now, let's say it records 100 of those five-minute files. Okay, when it gets to file, it needs to record 101. It'll erase number one and then start recording all over again. So you continually will have up to, let's say, 8 hours on that card, the past 8 hours of experience. It's always overwriting, overwriting, overwriting.
Now, what happens when, and this is one that comes up with me a lot since I use mine mostly to capture great scenery and to document a drive. I'm driving down the road and I see something, boy, I want to come back and look at that later. When you're recording all those files, how do you find it?
Okay, the quickest way to think about doing that is to do one of two things. You can note the time, because you have your timestamp on your system, and then go back and look for the time for that file when that was recorded. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it, and more than one of our customers relayed this to us. They taught us about this, and it's a great little trick. There is a button, it's right of center, where you press the button, and it locks that particular recording, that file, so it cannot be erased automatically. It can manually, but not automatically. So it'll keep overwriting, and every time it'll pass that file and leave that file on there. But what they're doing is, instead of looking for the button while you're driving, people are reaching up and just tapping the windshield witness, because that's imitating the jarring motion, which is the G sensor built in. So it automatically is locking that file.
So
that's how they're doing it.
Now, this G sensor, that's a great trick. I will actually try that myself, because sometimes it's just hard. You forget to look at the time. That G sensor, I would assume that is set then if you're in an accident, it locks that file so that you have a document, you've documented what happened. Is that what the purpose of the G sensor is?
That's exactly why it's in play. Heaven forbid something happens on the road. You're not thinking about your camera. Do I save this? Do I record this? Do I take the SD card out? Do I do all this? Let's say the worst case scenario happens. You're in such a quick accident that immediately the battery cable on your car is cut. Now, we know that's where the power is coming from for the windshield witness, which doesn't have a battery in it. It has supercapacitors, and I'll explain that in a second. But what happens is, when that incident occurs, and even if the battery cable is cut, the windshield witness will record that last file and save it. It won't lose it. And also, between recordings, you don't lose 1 second of video. Everything is, you could piece all the videos together and have one continuous movie if you so desired.
Wow. Now you mentioned that it doesn't have a battery, so it's plugged into the cigarette outlet for power.
Yes.
What happens when that comes off? Is it immediately stops recording, or what do those capacitors do? Help me understand that.
Okay. That's okay. Capacitors serve several purposes. Some people will notice that, well, they might not use their windshield witness all the time. They might go on a trip. They might stay home for a couple of months, not do anything, go back, go on a trip again. The supercapacitors will store it so that your date and time is always maintained in there.
Ah,
so that's
it's kind of like energy storage. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100% correct. And also, for the case where you unplug it or an accident happens and the cable's cut, it has enough power to save that last file that's going to be so important to you.
Great.
So that's what that's all about. Plus, I personally like the fact that you don't have to worry about in 2 years, because typically that's the case, and I don't mean to knock anybody. It's fact. You buy a battery. It's a rechargeable battery. We all know how long they last. And since these are being used continuously, you might get two, maybe a little bit more years out of them. Then the batteries don't work anymore. The system will still record, but it won't work anymore. So heaven forbid something would happen, you might not save that last file.
Now, how much of a drain on that battery is it? I believe you mentioned earlier on that it could run all night long and it wouldn't have any effect at all. But you can basically leave that thing on all the time if you're driving your vehicle. I mean, you wouldn't leave it on for 3 months because, you know, everything.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't leave it on for 3 months. But, I mean, I've had people who've had the windshield witness in their vehicles and they've gone, let's say, on a trip to Florida, and they left it at the parking lot, and they didn't realize, but they had a power on their cigarette lighter. They come back after a week, car starts right up. It has a very low drain.
Well, that's good to know.
I like to tell people that if you leave that on overnight, and you come out and you have a dead battery, what the windshield witness just told you, you have a problem with your battery.
Okay. All right. Now, it records, you said, in 5-minute increments. So
yes,
as you're recording, it goes on and on and on. And so that if you're looking for a particular hunk of video, then the most you're going to have to look forward once you find that time frame is 5 minutes to find that incident you want. That's
exactly.
That's to
you
me
might
a
have
big
to look
plus.
You might have to look at a maximum of 3 videos because you're going to be right in that time frame before or after it.
Now, it records on an SD card. There are all sorts of SD cards. What do you recommend in terms of capacity? How big of an SD card do people need?
Okay. What someone needs, what they need, is a card that would really be something that would give you just the last hour of driving, okay? Actually, the last 5 minutes, the last 40 seconds, really. But what I'm finding is people really like to have the videos, and they go home, and they'll look at them all. They'll see their whole drive. So we like either an 8-gigabyte card or a 32-gigabyte card. 32 will give you a full 8 hours of recording.
That's what I got. I got the 32. Okay.
And the class is important, too. You want a Class 10, and you want a name brand card.
And the reason the Class 10, and that has to do with speed, how fast a card records. And there are really some cheap cards out there. And that's a really good advice. You want to have at least a Class 10. And you say a name brand.
Buy a card. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And you say name brand. That's another one.
Name brand, yes. And not to knock eBay, but just to give somebody a little bit of information, you don't want to buy, I don't feel, a name brand card off of eBay. You will not know what you're getting. There's so many pirated cards out there. If you're looking to buy a card, additional card, whatever, go into a local photo shop.
Yeah, or Amazon, I suppose, too.
You know. Amazon's fine.
Yeah. And SanDisk is a good name brand. What are some of the
SanDisk
other ones?
SanDisk is very good. Well, yeah. SanDisk, we have only been using Transcend exclusively.
Transcend's another one? Yeah.
We have had zero problems. And also, Transcend used to have a lifetime warranty on their cards. They've recently changed it to 5 years because of dash cams.
Really?
Well, reason being, these are being used continually in a loop manner, not once in a while.
So you want a good quality dash cam because it'll be used, or a good quality SD card. Now, what if you're moving? What if you're moving from one car to another? How hard is this system to take apart and hook up?
Well, our system has the option of coming with what's known as a transfer kit. Okay, and the transfer kit really includes everything except an additional camera. You're going to get another 15-foot cord. You're going to get a suction mount. We also include a 110-volt power supply, and also what we call a valance mount. Some of the RVs out there have the valance overhead. You can actually put this right over your head if you'd like to, and a lot of people enjoy that. So
okay,
it's pretty easy. It's a matter of unscrewing the camera. You don't even have to take the suction off the window. Unscrew the camera, put it in your other vehicle, screw it in, put the plug in the side, you're done.
Well, the quality really is amazing on these things. As I said, I've been using one now since after the first of the year. I'll put some video up with the show notes for this podcast so people can see just the quality of how well these things record. And we'll also put a link up to your website here where people can actually purchase one right from ours just by clicking a little bit. What's the cost of these things?
Cost... would be, well, let me see here. You're going to have the 32 gigabytes, including a transfer kit. Be $210.58. There's a $10.58 postage and handling fee included.
Yeah. Can't get away from that.
Only the people in Maryland are going to pay 6% sales tax. Everybody else doesn't have to pay sales tax.
All right. So did you say 219, I think it is? So it's pretty good.
$210.58 and 10. So like $220 and change.
And when that's including shipping. And this is a high def camera. What we use it for, and I use it again in this RV. Folks know that we travel around the country in it, and I love to document the mountains. But I also flip it around and turn it around and get shots of Jennifer, my wife, and I driving. And we forgot to talk about this. That another thing a good dash cam has is the ability to record audio. And and it's pretty good. I've actually used audio to do a little what we call in the business a stand up, and it's quite usable.
Yeah, we like that feature, and we also have it so that you can either have that on or have that off. Some people, they don't want to, they don't want to hear themselves saying, "Good heavens, that man cut me off." They don't want to hear that in the
recording. Or I got to tell you, we had one go the other day. We were down on a two-lane road in Georgia, and my wife was actually driving. And, she doesn't like driving the RV a whole lot, but she will. And she was driving, and there was a big hill, a yellow line, and on coming across this were two 18-wheelers passing each other. And we had music on, And you know what the song was? Staying Alive from the Bee Gees.
Oh, my. Oh.
And these trucks, she did great. She slowed down. She had a pullover. And the trucks just whoosh right past. But it was within 2 feet of a head-on with a pair. And we said, what were we saying? And we listened to the thing. And all it was staying alive. So that was my dash cam moment. I put that up, I think, on Facebook, and we had like 100,000 likes on it. So everybody liked
it. Oh, you had to.
Now, what's the weirdest thing you have seen? You get video from your customers. What are some of the things that you've seen that people have actually recorded with their dash cams?
Well, people have everything from, you know, drivers backing into them at a red light and getting out and swearing that they hit them. Audio and video of, you know, road rage stuff, not horrible stuff, but road rage stuff, videos of, you know, bear, elk, moose, raccoon, deer, or some other animal just darting across the road in front of them, you know, when they're driving. One lady sent a video, and she had of a milk cow headbutting her truck grill.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's, no.
You know, nobody would believe it.
Out of a milk cow.
Nobody would believe it. So,
I mean, we see it all, and obviously there's plenty more out there to see.
Well, they are a lot of fun, and I'm taking off actually this week as this podcast is released to Florida, and first thing I do is I make sure it's on as we take off, and we document the whole trip, never think about it, and it gives me something that I can always show some video and have some stuff to illustrate our blog post. So
well, here's an added bonus for you if you'd like. Most people don't understand that this can be done with this system, and that is you can set that recording level or the recording time frame to off. So you could have a complete 2 hour straight video if you wanted to.
Then you could play it back and super fast and do it two hours.
Yeah. Zoom it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of neat things you can do for it. And it's good. Okay. Now we've certainly been talking about windshield witness, but just give us a couple of quick tips. People, you know, sometimes they're buying something else, but, and this isn't necessarily a commercial here and I don't want to have you,
but
give us two or three things that a dash cam should have that if somebody's looking for it, this is what you want to have.
Okay. You're looking for one that will cost you a little bit, not necessarily $29.95.
Yeah, there's a lot of them like that. And that's junk. They're just
junk. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
We suggest at least a 720p camera, at least that.
That's the resolution of the camera. So
exactly, yep. Resolution. 1080p is best. It's better. You would definitely want a G sensor feature in whatever camera that you would purchase.
So if there's an accident, it's got it recorded and locked.
Exactly correct. And also something that we suggest that people don't want, and that is any type of recording of vehicle speed. And we say that strictly for fraudulent accident claims. And this is why we say it. Any attorney worth their salt will 100% agree with this statement. If you present in court your video of your accident where someone hit you head on, they were dead wrong, but you were going 1 mile over the limit, and it shows that on your video, you can be deemed contributory to that accident.
Really? Didn't think of that. Yeah.
So you're actually incriminating yourself.
So don't record your speed. That's good.
I prefer not. That's why our system doesn't have it in there.
Well,
we don't
good.
Want that yeah. accidental. Well, I had it on. I didn't have it on. It's not there.
Yeah. That's smart. So look for that. Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Looping, of course.
Somebody who's going to give you a warranty.
Yeah. All right.
Whatever you're comfortable with. There's a lot of great brands out there.
All right.
There's a lot of great systems.
And I got to say, I have really found it to be one of the most enjoyable things I've put on my vehicle in a long time. So, all right. Dewey Devane from Windshield Witness, and we'll put a link to the Windshield Witness system so people can check it all out themselves. Thanks a lot, and thanks for making such a great product. I really have enjoyed it. And
I
sought you out. We should point this out that I actually sought you out. I seldom write unsolicited testimonials, and I wrote one to you guys about what a great product you have. So I like it. What I think, you know, I really liked about it is that you test every one of these out ahead of time before it's sent to the customer. And I really appreciated that because mine worked right out of the box, just like you said.
Well, thank you. We do sell what we call used systems. And let me qualify that real quick. Well, we get them in from our supplier. We put them on what we call shaker boards for a full 2-week time frame. So they're running. We make sure that none of them go out that aren't up to snuff.
All right. That's another good thing people can look for, is make sure that there's some kind of a system of testing it and that it was looked at before you got it. So, hey, we'll put some video up and we'll have some fun. And I bet there'll be lots more people that are traveling with dash cams. Dewey Devane, thank you for being our guest on this edition of the podcast.
Mike, thank you, sir.
Well, there you go. That is the windshield witness. And if you want more information, just use the show notes link here for this. I've put all the stuff you want to know about windshield witness and all the specs and everything on the show notes. Show notes are roadtrekking.com/26. roadtrekking.com/26. Got it? roadtrekking.com. Got that part? /26.
In a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, so ends another episode of Road Trekking the RV broadcast, brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes. Audible.com, where you can get a free audiobook download. Just go to audibletrial.com/roadtrekking. And Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, we covered a lot of ground today. I'll be on the road, and we have our mobile podcast studio with us in our road trek, and we'll be actually recording next week's issue from the road someplace. I want to remind you that if you happen to be one of the millions, I think that's accurate, millions of RVers who happen to be in the state of Florida, come join us in Winter Garden, Florida on Tuesday, March 17th at Leisure Time RV. Jennifer and I will be there from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 7. And we would love to say hello and shake your hand. And we're happy to show you our brand new road trek that we happen to be traveling around the country with. It's always fun to meet folks. So come on over to Winter Garden, Florida. It's near Orlando at Leisure Time RV. Hey, if you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, you're invited. I would love to have you record a voicemail message. Just click on the right-hand Leave Voicemail button on the roadtrekking.com blog. And you do that, you use the microphone that's right in your computer, and it comes to me, and then we can play it on the podcast. You heard us talk about our Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and look up the group Road Trekking, and you can join that group and be a part of a very active community, whether you have a road trek or any other kind of RV. It's really a lifestyle we're talking about, and you're invited to be a part of our community on Facebook. And, of course, the blog as well, which is roadtrekking.com. If you're a Twitter user, follow me at Road Trekking. I am on Twitter all day long. I really could use it if you would do me a favor and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And new episodes are released every Wednesday. And every time there's a new one released, you'll get a little notice on your iPhone or your iPad or your Android. And it'll say, hey, there's a new episode. And it'll be all ready for you to listen to. You won't have to go out and hunt it up. I also would appreciate it if you would give us a review at the end of this story on our podcast for this episode, roadtrekking.com/26. I've got a list on how you can leave us a review. Those reviews really, really help us make sure that this podcast is heard and accessible by everybody. So please check that out. Hey, till next Wednesday, I'm Mike Wendland saying thanks for putting me in your ear.